Open our hearts to hear your word to us, Lord Jesus. Make us ready and willing to hear and obey. Amen.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David.
Let's get the backstory to this. Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, is pregnant. Gabriel came to her husband Zechariah and told him that his very old wife would have a baby, John, a miracle baby who would be a special messenger, a prophet. John would announce that the King of the Jews, the Messiah, was about to arrive. What's more, when Gabriel spoke God's word to Zechariah, Zechariah didn't believe, amazingly. He didn't believe the angel's word. So Gabriel took away his words. Zechariah became mute. The crowd with Zechariah were amazed at this. Zechariah couldn't speak, but they certainly could. And they had a lot to tell. An angel, a new baby, a miracle baby. A baby who would announce the Messiah. The Messiah was at last coming. The Jews had been waiting hundreds of years for this time. And you can be sure too that Elizabeth would have told her cousin Mary all about it, all about the baby as it was growing in her womb. So we can assume that Mary already knew three things before Gabriel had even come to her. She knew the visit of the angel to her relatives. She knew the miracle of old Elizabeth falling pregnant. And she knew that this baby would announce the Messiah was about to arrive. There's something else that Mary probably knew too, and it's about Gabriel.
Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God."
Well, Gabriel only turns up three times in the Bible, to Zechariah and to Mary, but also 500 years before this, to Daniel the prophet. And each time it was hard for those who heard the word of Gabriel. For Daniel, he was fearful, he was overwhelmed, he was sick for days. And then he was left mute after hearing from a second angel. Remember, Zechariah was also left mute. Each time Gabriel came, he came with a word from the Lord. A word bringing judgment and suffering, but also a word of hope. So Mary had every reason to be alarmed, because a cross hung over this baby. This baby had been born for one purpose, and that was to die. So what? We all die. Yes, but Jesus came to die on a cross for the sins of the world. He himself said that many times in his life. "I have come to be crucified." He came to die that we might have life. Now, the birth of a baby, of course, is a happy time. But we totally miss the point of Christmas if we fail to see the sorrow, the sense of doom that surrounded this baby. Surprisingly, it was not the sudden appearance of the angel that troubled Mary. It was what he said. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Now, this is odd because the words themselves seem harmless, even encouraging. Gabriel appeared and said, "Greetings, favoured woman. The Lord is with you." What's troubling about that? Well, as I say, Gabriel had come to Daniel, a famous prophet, in fact, a great prince under both the Babylonians and the Persians. Gabriel had also come to the priest, Zechariah, as he appeared before God in the temple in Jerusalem on behalf of the whole nation. And in the Old Testament, you expect angels to come to prophets and priests and princes, but not to an ordinary young country lass. What was Gabriel, the great Gabriel, doing coming to her? Was something terrible about to happen? Well, twice Gabriel says that Mary is favoured by God. Greetings, favoured woman. You have found favour with God. Mary was chosen for the same reason that God chooses anyone. God chooses because he chooses. That is his right as creator. When Gordon, my grandson, makes three little plasticine men and chooses one of them to be the leader, it's not because that plasticine man did anything, but because Gordon chose him. Mary was not chosen because of any special virtue or grace, but simply because God chose to favour her. Well, what was Mary chosen for? Now, I don't know how many conversations with angels you've had, but I gather they can be rather long-winded, a bit like some preachers. But what Gabriel said in a nutshell was this: Mary, your baby will be the Messiah. But the way Gabriel explains this is to point to God's promise in the past, his words of promise. In that word, we find several clues as to who this Messiah is.
You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.
So four things come out of this. Abraham. The house of Jacob is mentioned. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. God spoke to Abraham and his grandson Jacob. God promised that Abraham's offspring would bless the nations of the world. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you, Abraham was told. Now, in part, that promise was fulfilled through Jacob in the children of Israel, his descendants. But it pointed to a greater fulfillment with the Son who would bring salvation to all nations. As Son of Abraham, Jesus will bless the nations. Secondly, the name Joshua. Gabriel said, and you will name him Jesus. How will Jesus bless the nations? By bringing salvation. Salvation is found in his very name. In its Hebrew form, Joshua, his name means God saves, God brings salvation. And third, David is mentioned. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Because God promised David that his son would reign forever. He would be the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. And finally, this Jesus, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David, is also the Son of God. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The baby will be holy. He will be called Son of God. You see, Jesus is truly and fully both Son of Man and Son of God. And this is vital for the role that he will play in dying for the sins of the world. Only as God could he pay for the rebellion of mankind against himself? Only as man could he take on our sin and suffer as a man and die. And this is the baby who was born, the one who brings the blessings of God to all nations, the Saviour of the world, the King who will reign in peace forever, and the Son of God. And yet this amazing Saviour, Eternal King, Son of God, He didn't come in any fanfare. He came unnoticed by almost everyone, unannounced as a baby in a cattle trough. You couldn't make up a story like this. You'd be out of your mind to try. No one would believe it. Who in their right mind would try and invent a story like this? We're questioning God's word.
Mary asked the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?"
Zechariah, the priest, asked a similar question of the angel. Both Mary and Zechariah asked how. Zechariah said, "How can I be sure of this?" But notice, Zechariah's question came from unbelief. He was really saying, "Prove it. Prove it, angel." We know this because Gabriel rebuked him for his unbelief. He said, "You will be silent because you did not believe my words." But Mary was commended for her faith by Elizabeth. "Blessed, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Notice how both belief and unbelief revolve around the words that were said, God's word. Mary's question, how, arose not from doubt, but for clarification. The question was not, "How can this happen? It's impossible." Rather, "How will this happen, given that I'm a virgin?" Now, it is good and right to question God's word, not in unbelief and scepticism, but humbly seeking understanding. Faith seeking understanding was a phrase used by one of the great fathers of the church, Anselm. So never be afraid to ask questions, and hard, awkward questions, of God, of faith, of Scripture. Humble, faithful questioning leads to a robust, mature faith. But a faith that never questions will fall apart as soon as the first challenges arise. Now, at this stage, Mary's question probably had a practical and loving concern to do with Joseph, her fiancé. Where does Joseph fit in? Mary was not yet married to him. How will conception occur if not through Joseph?
The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail."
Well, God, the Creator, he spoke his word at the beginning and life came into existence. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke again and life was created in the wombs of barren Elizabeth and of Mary. Gabriel said to Mary, "No word from God will ever fail." Words are of little weight in our world. Once it was said that a man's word was his bond. No need to write it down. You could depend on a man to be true to his word. Sadly, that is not the world we live in now. Even a certain US president was at one stage averaging 39 false or misleading claims a day. No guesses who that might be. But who can we trust? What word can be trusted? Well, we can trust God's word. And Mary did just that. We can trust God's word because of who he is. He backs it up. He guarantees it. He is able to do this because he's loving. God loves his creation. He loves us so much that he sent his only son into our world to live as one of us and die for us. No being has ever shown so much love as this. For God gave his all in giving his son. He had nothing left to give. Not only is he loving, he's powerful. As creator, God, is outside his universe. He's beyond space and time. Of his son, we are told he will reign forever. God is not subject to the rules of the universe. As creator, he can intervene supernaturally and do things that only he, as creator, is able to do. Now, this is not unscientific. It is beyond science. It is beyond the realm of science. God is loving, he is powerful, he also has a plan. God's plan was from before creation, and it was to rescue his people. Everything in the Bible points to his plan, including the promises to Abraham and to David. Today, God is fulfilling his plan as more and more people hear his word and respond, like Mary, in faith.
Mary responded, "I am the servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel left her.
And so we finish on this part. The cost of believing God's word. It was no easy thing for Mary to believe. That was the miracle. Okay, there'd been miraculous births before. Her own cousin Elizabeth was one. She was old and barren, and yet had now been pregnant for 6 months. But a virgin birth? Nothing like this had ever happened before, nor will it happen again. This is unique in human history. But then there was the shame. It was hard to believe for Mary because of the shame. In God's eyes, this child will be great, Son of the Most High. He'll be holy, Son of God. In God's eyes, so much for God. In the eyes of her community, the baby was anything but holy or great. He was a bastard. He was the illegitimate son of a sinful woman. Many Jews would have shunned Mary and her child. As Isaiah prophesied, Jesus was a man of sorrows, despised and rejected by men. And this began even before he was born. And then there was the pain. At the birth of Jesus, the prophet Simeon had said, "A sword will pierce through your own soul." Mary felt that pain at the foot of the cross. You see, the difficulty in believing God's word is not the problem of miracles. That's an easy one to deal with. Because faith is no leap in the dark. Faith is not suspending our reason. I used to be a lawyer. As a lawyer, I was used to weighing the evidence and reaching rational conclusions. And from a rational perspective, from a scientific perspective, I find the case for God to be far more compelling than the case for atheism. You need a huge leap of faith to believe in atheism. But if you accept that there is a loving creator, why should it be so hard to believe that he sent a supernatural saviour into our world to rescue us? Indeed, isn't that exactly what you would expect a loving creator to do? Now, the problem in believing God's word is not miracles. The problem is the trouble that comes with such belief. Because if we take God at his word, our lives will never be the same again. Because faith in Jesus is very inconvenient. I'm not doing a very good sales pitch here for God, am I? But that's the truth. Like Mary, we will suffer shame and pain. Jesus promised that for his followers. He said, "If the world hates you, remember it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. since they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And again Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. So belief comes at a cost. Mary knew that. Yet she surrendered her life, her will, to the Son of God. I am the servant of the Lord, she said. May it be done to me according to your word. So, friends, the question is, are you willing to surrender your life for Jesus, for the Son of God? Will you believe in him? Will you take him at his word? Will you join me in a prayer? Lord Jesus, thank you that you were born to die for us. You were born that we might be reborn as children of God. Give us faith to believe in your word of life today. Amen.